أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. This is part one of the audiobook The Will by Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmed, the Promised Messiah and Mahdi. This is an audiobook recorded for the Review of Religions. The Review of Religions magazine was established in 1902 by Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmed, the Promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, in order to prove the existence of God and the relevance of religion in the modern world. It continues to engage audiences across the globe to this day. You can find a range of audiobooks and other exciting resources on our website at www.reviewofreligions.org. Part 1. The Will. A warner came unto the world, but the world accepted him not. Yet God shall accept him and demonstrate his truthfulness with mighty assaults. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, and peace and blessings be upon His Messenger, Muhammad, His progeny, and all His companions. Since God Almighty has informed me through recurrent revelations that the time of my demise is near, and since these revelations have been of such force as to shake me to the very core of my being, turning my heart cold to this life, I have deemed it appropriate to write a few words of admonition and advice for my friends and other such persons as may wish to derive benefit from my words. To begin with, I commit to writing the divine revelation which informed me of my imminent death and motivated me to undertake this task. The following is the revelation which was revealed in the Arabic language. Later, the revelation in Urdu will also be mentioned. Qaruba ajalukal muqaddar, wala nubqi laka min al mukhziyati dhikra. Qalla mi'adu rabbika, wala nubqi laka min al mukhziyati shay'an. Wa imma nuriyannaka ba'da alladhi na'iduhum aw natawaffayannaka. تَمُوتُ وَأَنَا رَاضٍ مِنْكَ جَاءَ وَقْتُكَ وَنُبْقِي لَكَ الْآيَاتِ بَاهِرَةٍ جَاءَ وَقْتُكَ وَنُبْقِي لَكَ الْآيَاتِ بَيِّنَاتٍ قَرُبَ مَا تُوعَدُونَ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The appointed time of your death has come close, and we shall leave no trace of anything, the allusion to which might reflect adversely upon your honour. Very little is left of the term which God has ordained with respect to you, and we shall dispel and demolish and leave no trace of any objection intended to defame and humiliate you. We have the power to show you a part of the fulfillment of our prophecies about the opponents, or cause you to die. You will die while I am pleased with you. You shall always cause the manifest signs to remain as a testimony to your truthfulness. The promise which was made is close. Proclaim the bounty of your Lord which has been bestowed on you. The one who adheres to taqwa and is steadfast, God does not waste the reward of such righteous ones. It should be remembered here that when God Almighty says that He will not leave behind any such objections against me as might be the cause of my disgrace and defamation, the statement has two meanings. First, that He shall refute and wipe out all objections which are published with the intention of defaming me, and second, that those who raise such objections and do not refrain from mischief, nor desist from vilification, we shall rid the world of their presence, and wipe them off the face of the earth, with the result that with their destruction, their objections would also be wiped out. After this, God spoke to me in Urdu regarding my death, and addressed me in the following words.
Bohat thode din reh gaye hain. Us din sab par udasi cha jayegi. Ye hoga, ye hoga, ye hoga. Baad iske tumhara waqia hoga. Tamam hawadis aur ajaibat-e kudrat dikhlane ke baad tumhara hadsa aayega.
That very few days are left. On that day all will be saddened. This will happen, this will happen, this will take place. Your event will take place after all other events and natural wonders have been demonstrated. The knowledge that I have been granted about the calamities is none other than that death will run rampant on all sides, that earthquakes of such severity will occur as will provide a foretaste of the day of judgment. The earth will be turned upside down and the lives of many will become agonizingly distressing. Then, those who repent and forsake sin, to them Allah will show mercy. As all the prophets had prophesied about this age, it was inevitable that all this should have come to pass. But those who set their hearts aright and follow the ways favoured by God shall have no fear or grief. Addressing me, God Almighty said,
Tu meri taraf se nazir hai, maine tujhe bheja, ta mujrim nekokaron se alag kiye jayein. اور فرمایا کہ دنیا میں ایک نذیر آیا پر دنیا نے اس کو قبول نہ کیا لیکن خدا اسے قبول کرے گا اور بڑے زور آور حملوں سے اس کی سچائی ظاہر کر دے گا میں تجھے اس قدر برکت دوں گا کہ بادشاہ تیرے کپڑوں سے برکت ڈھونڈیں گے.
Translation: You are a warner on my behalf. I have sent you so that the guilty ones be separated from the righteous. And he said, A warner came unto the world, but the world accepted him not. Yet God will accept him, and demonstrate his truthfulness with mighty onslaughts. Footnote: Had the world opened its eyes, it would have seen that I appeared at the turn of the century. By now, nearly one-fourth of the 14th century has elapsed, and, quite in accordance with the Ahadith and concurrent with my claim, a solar and a lunar eclipse occurred during the month of Ramadan, and the plague too broke out in the country, and earthquakes too struck, and many more shall yet strike. Woe betide those who fell in love with the world and did not accept me. End footnote. And I shall bless thee so much so that kings shall seek blessings from thy garments. End of translation. And God informed me of another impending earthquake, which would be of utmost severity, and said,
Phir bahar aayi, Khuda ki baat phir.
That again the spring came, and again the word of God was fulfilled. Thus another massive earthquake is bound to occur, but the righteous are safe from it. Be righteous, therefore, and fear God so that you may be saved. Fear God today that you may remain safe from the fear of that day. It is inevitable for the heaven to show some sign and for the earth to do likewise, but those who fear God shall be saved. God's word informs me that many calamities will occur and many disasters will descend on the earth.
some during my lifetime and some after I have gone. And he will promote and advance this Jamaat to the full. A part of it will happen at my hands and some after me. This is the way of God. And ever since he created man on earth, he has always been demonstrating this divine practice. He helps his prophets and messengers and grants them success and predominance. As he says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي, that God has ordained that he and his prophets shall prevail. The Holy Quran, Surah Al-Mujadala, chapter 58, verse 22. And by predominance is meant that as messengers and prophets desire that God's hujjat is established in the world and no one is able to oppose it, so in turn does God demonstrate with powerful signs their truthfulness as well as the truth they wish to spread in the world. He lets them sow the seed of it, the truth, but he does not let it come to full fruition at their hands. Rather, he causes them to die at such time as apparently forebodes a kind of failure and thereby provides an opportunity for the opponents to laugh at, ridicule, taunt, and reproach the prophets. And after they have had their fill of ridicule and reproach, he reveals yet another dimension of his might and creates such means by which the objectives which had to some extent remained incomplete are fully realized. Thus he manifests two kinds of power. First, he shows the hand of his power at the hands of his prophets themselves. Secondly, when with the death of a prophet difficulties and problems arise and the enemy feels stronger and thinks that things are in disarray and is convinced that now this Jamaat will become extinct, and even members of the Jamaat too are in a quandary and their backs are broken and some of the unfortunate ones choose paths that lead to apostasy, then it is that God for the second time shows his mighty power and supports and takes care of the shaken Jamaat. Thus, one who remains steadfast till the end witnesses this miracle of God. This is what happened at the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, when the demise of the Holy Prophet was considered untimely, and many an ignorant Bedouin turned apostate. The companions of the Holy Prophet too, stricken with grief, became like those who lose their senses. Then Allah raised Abu Bakr Siddiq and showed for the second time the manifestation of his power and saved Islam just when it was about to fall and fulfilled the promise which was spelled out in the verse, وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. That is, after the fear, we shall firmly re-establish them. That is also what happened at the time of Moses, when he died on his way from Egypt to Canaan, before taking the Israelites to the intended destination, in accordance with the promise. At his, Moses' death, Israelites were plunged into deep mourning. It is written in the Torah that with the grief at this untimely death and sudden departure of Moses, the Israelites wept for 40 days. The same happened with Christ. At the time of the incident of the crucifixion, all his disciples scattered, and one of them even apostatized. So, dear friends, since it is the Sunnatullah from time immemorial that God Almighty shows two manifestations, so that the two false joys of the opponents be put to an end, it is not possible now that God should relinquish his sunnah of old. So do not grieve over what I have said to you, nor should your hearts be distressed, for it is essential for you to witness the second manifestation also, and its coming is better for you because it is everlasting, the continuity of which will not end till the day of judgment. And that second manifestation cannot come unless I depart. But when I depart, God will send that second manifestation for you, which shall always stay with you, just as promised by God in Barahine Ahmadiyya. And this promise is not for my person, rather the promise is with reference to you. As God addressing me says, I shall make this Jamaat, who are your followers, prevail over others till the day of judgment. Thus it is inevitable that you see the day of my departure, so that after that day, the day comes, which is the day of everlasting promise. Our God is He who keeps His promise and is faithful and is the truthful God. He shall show you all that He has promised. Though these days are the last days of this world and there are many a disaster waiting to happen, yet it is necessary that this world continues to exist until all those things about which God has prophesied come to pass. I came from God as a manifestation of divine providence, and I am a personification of His power. And after I am gone, there will be some other persons who will be the manifestation of the second power of God. So while waiting for the second manifestation of His power, you all together keep yourselves busy praying. And let a Jamaat of righteous people, one and all, in every country, keep themselves busy in prayers, so that the second manifestation may descend from the heaven and show you that your God is such a mighty God. Consider your death to be close at hand, for you never know when the hour will strike. Let the righteous persons of the Jamaat who have pure souls accept bayt in my name. Footnote: such persons will be selected by consensus of the believers. Hence, if 40 believers agree that a person is competent to accept bayt in my name, he will be entitled to accept bayt, oath of allegiance. And such a person ought to make himself an example for others. God has informed me, I shall raise for thy Jamaat one from thy progeny, and shall honour him with my revelation and nearness. Truth will flourish through him, and a large number of people accept him. So wait for those days, and you should remember that one is recognised only when one's time comes, and it is possible that before such a time one may appear to be an ordinary person, or because of some deceptive thoughts, one may even be regarded as objectionable, just as one who is destined to be perfect is at one time only a drop of semen or clot of blood in the womb. End footnote. God Almighty desires to draw all those who live in various habitations of the world, be it in Europe or Asia, and who have virtuous nature, to the unity of God and unite His servants under one faith. This indeed is the purpose of God for which I have been sent to the world. You too, therefore, should pursue this end, but with kindness, moral probity, and fervent prayers. Until that time when someone inspired by God with the Holy Spirit is raised by Him, all of you should work in harmony with one another. And you too should partake of the Holy Spirit by compassion and by purifying your souls, because without the Holy Spirit, true taqwa cannot be attained. And, totally shedding all base desires of the self, choose for the sake of winning the pleasure of God that path compared to which no path can be narrower and straighter. Do not fall in love with the pleasures of the world, for they take you away from God. Choose a life of austerity for the sake of God. The pain which pleases God is better than the pleasure which makes him angry. And the defeat which pleases God is better than the victory which invites the wrath of Allah. Renounce the love which brings you nearer to the wrath of Allah. If by purifying your hearts you come to him, he will help you whichever path you tread. And no enemy shall ever be able to harm you. You can never, ever win the pleasure of Allah unless you, relinquishing your desires, abandoning your pleasures, sacrificing your honor, disowning your wealth, discarding your life, bear such hardships in His way as make you suffer the pangs of death. But once you suffer such hardship, you will sit in the lap of God like a beloved child. And you will be made heirs of the truthful who have preceded you. The door of every blessing will be open to you, but there are few who belong to this category. God addressed me and said that taqwa is a tree that should be planted in the heart. The very water which nourishes taqwa irrigates the whole garden. Taqwa is a root without which everything is meaningless. And if it remains intact, then nothing is lost. What benefit is there for a man in indulging himself in the useless activity of claiming with his tongue that he seeks God, while he has no sure footing with his Lord? Look, I say to you truly and sincerely, that ruined is he whose faith is tainted by even a hint of worldliness. Hell is very close to that soul, all of whose intentions are not for God. Rather, some of them are for God and others are for the world. Thus, if you have an iota of worldly adulteration in your intentions, all your worship is in vain. In such a case, you do not follow God. Rather, you follow Satan. Never ever expect that when you are in such a condition, God will help you. Rather, in this condition, you are a worm of the earth, and soon you will perish just as worms of the earth do. And God shall not be in you. Rather, he will be happy to destroy you. But if you in reality die by killing your baser selves, then you shall appear in God, and God shall be with you. And the house in which you live will be blessed, and God's mercy will descend on the walls which are the walls of your house. And that city shall be blessed where such a person lives. If your life and your death, your every action and movement, and your kindness and your anger are for God only, and if in any trouble or difficulty you do not put God to the test, nor sever your relationship with him, rather, under these trials you step forward towards God, then I truly say to you that you will become a chosen people of God. You too are human as I am human, and that very God who is mine is yours. So do not lay waste your noble capacities. Look, if you fully incline towards God, then be reminded, and I say it in accordance with the will and pleasure of God, that you shall become his chosen people. Let the greatness of God take root in your hearts and acknowledge his unity, not just with your tongues, but also with your actions, so that God too practically shows his mercy and kindness to you. Refrain from malice and treat human beings with true compassion. Adopt each and every path of righteousness, for who knows from which of these paths you will be accepted. Rejoice and be happy that the field of achieving nearness to God is vacant. Every nation is in love with the world, and to what pleases God, the world pays no attention. Now is the time for those who wish to enter this door, that they, mustering all their strength, show their mettle and win the much-coveted prize from God. Do not think that God will let you go to waste. You are the seed which the hand of God has sown in the earth. God says that this seed will grow and flower, and its branches will spread in all directions, and it will become a huge tree. So, blessed is one who believes in what God says, and does not fear the trials which he suffers in his path. For the coming of trials is essential, so that God may try you to see who is true in his declaration of Be'et and who is false. Whoever falters in the face of a trial would do no harm to God whatsoever, and ill luck would only land him in hell. Were he not born, it would have been better for him. But all those who remain steadfast till the end, they will be shaken with quakes of calamities and battered with storms of misfortune, ridiculed and mocked by people and hated and reviled by the world, shall at last come out victorious. And doors of blessings shall be thrown open for them. God addressed me and said that I should inform my Jamaat that those who believe and their belief is not adulterated with the worldly considerations and is free from hypocrisy and cowardice and is not found wanting at any stage of obedience, such people are the favourites of God. And God says that indeed these are the ones whose station is that of truth. Listen, O you who can. What is it that God desires from you? All he desires is only that you become solely his and do not associate any partners with him, neither in the heavens nor on the earth. Our God is that God who is alive even now as he was alive before. He speaks even now as he used to speak before, and even now he hears as he heard before. It is a false notion that in these times he only hears but does not speak. On the contrary, he hears and also speaks. All his attributes are eternal and everlasting. None of his attributes is in abeyance, nor will it ever be. He alone is the one without any associate. He has no son, nor has he any wife. He alone is peerless and there is no one like him. And he is the one who is unique in that none of his attributes are exclusively possessed by anyone beside him. He has no equal. He does not share his attributes with anyone. None of his powers is less than perfect. He is near, yet far, and he is far, yet near. He can reveal himself to Ahle Kashaf. He has no body, nor any shape. He is above all, but it cannot be said that there is anything beneath him. He is on Arsh, but it cannot be said that he is not on the earth. He is the sum total of all perfect attributes, and he is the manifestation of every true praise. He is the source of all that is good, and encompasses all powers, and he is the source of all forms of beneficence. He is the one to whom everything returns. He is the Lord of all the realms. He possesses every perfection and is free from all defects, imperfections, and weaknesses. It is His sole prerogative that all those who belong to the earth as well as all those who belong to the heavens should worship Him. Nothing is impossible for Him. All souls and their potentialities and all particles and their potentials are His and only His creation. Nothing comes into existence without Him. He reveals Himself through His powers, His omnipotence, and His signs. We can attain Him only through Him. He always reveals His being to the righteous and shows them His omnipotence. And this is the only means by which He is recognized, and the path He favors is recognized. He sees without physical eyes and hears without physical ears and speaks without a physical tongue. Likewise, it is His work to bring a thing into existence from nothingness. For example, in dreams, you see how He creates a whole world without matter and shows you every mortal and non-existent being as having existence. Thus are all His powers. Ignorant is he who denies His powers. Blind is he who has no knowledge of His profound and inconceivable powers. He can and does everything that He intends to, except those which are at variance with His glory or which are in conflict with His promises. He is unique in His being, in His attributes, in His actions, and in His powers. All doors to reach Him are closed except the one which the noble Quran has opened. And all prophethoods and all books of the past are no longer required to be followed independently because the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comprises and encompasses them all. And except for it, the prophethood of Muhammad, all routes to God are closed. Each and every truth which leads to God is in it, the Holy Quran, alone. Neither will any truth come after this, nor is there any earlier truth which is not present within it. It is for this reason that all prophethoods have ended with the coming of this prophethood. And so it should have been, for a thing which has a beginning must also have an end. But this prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in its intrinsic beneficence, suffers from no handicap. Indeed, its beneficence far surpasses the beneficence of other prophethoods. Following the prophethood of Muhammad is the easiest route through which one can reach God. Obedience to it wins the gift of divine love and communion greater and more than ever before. However, a perfect follower of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot be called a prophet per se, for that would be an affront to the perfect and absolute prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet, with regard to him, the follower of the Holy Prophet, the two expressions Ummati and Nabi can be applied in conjunction. Because by doing so, no disrespect is implied to the perfect and final prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, because of this beneficence of the Holy Prophet, the light of his prophethood becomes all the more clear and resplendent. Footnote. In spite of this, it should be remembered that after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the door for law-bearing prophethood has been firmly closed. And after the Holy Quran, there is no book, scripture, which teaches new injunctions or abrogates the authority of the Holy Quran or suspends it, for the ministry of the Quran remains effective until the day of judgment. End footnote. When this communion and converse reaches the highest stage of perfection from the point of view of both quality and quantity, and is free from all impurities and deficiencies, and when it openly and explicitly reveals matters pertaining to the unknown, then such a revelation is in other terms designated as prophethood. All the prophets are in agreement concerning this. Thus, it is not possible that a people about whom it is said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas," that you are the best people raised for the good of mankind, the Holy Quran, chapter 3, verse 111, and who are taught the prayer, "Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim," that guide us on the right path, the path of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy blessings, the Holy Quran, chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, should have been deprived of attaining this high station, and not a single one of them could attain it. Were it so, this would not have been the only flaw, namely that Ummat-e-Muhammadiyya, the community of the followers of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would have remained imperfect and inadequate, and all those belonging to it would have remained spiritually blind. The other more grave consequences would have followed. The beneficence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been flawed, and his quwwat-e qudsiya would have been considered imperfect. Moreover, the supplication which the Muslims were enjoined to make in their five obligatory prayers would have been in vain. On the other hand, there would have been the added defect that if this gamal were made possible for a member of the Ummah to achieve directly without completely following the light of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the meaning and significance of Khatm al-Nabuwat, seal of prophethood, would have been negated. Thus, to avoid both these dangers, God Almighty vouchsafed the consummate, perfect, pure, and venerated revelation to some of those who completely lost themselves in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no barrier remains between them and him. They personify the sense and substance of being an ummati, and the true meaning of following the Holy Prophet is fully realized in them in such a way that their being ceased to be their own, but are lost in the being of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that in the mirror of their total absorption, the person of the Holy Prophet is fully reflected, and along with this they are vouchsafed a personal communion with God like other prophets. This is how some individuals, despite being ummati, have earned the title of prophet. For such prophethood is not distinct from the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, on close reflection, we find that it is none other than the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam which has manifested itself in a new mode. This is what is meant by the statement of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with reference to the promised Messiah, i.e., Nabiullahi wa imamukum minkum. That is, he is a prophet as well as an ummati. Because one who is not a follower of the Holy Prophet can by no means step in to occupy this exalted station. Blessed is he who comprehends this point, that he may save himself from destruction. God caused Isa to die as the plain and explicit verse of God, i.e., فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ رَقِيبًا عَلَيْهِمْ, bears witness. The meaning of this verse, in the context of the relevant verses, is that on the Day of Judgment, God will ask Isa, "Was it you yourself who taught your followers, 'Believe in me and my mother as gods'?" To this he will reply, "As long as I remained among them, I was witness over them, and was their custodian. But after you caused me to die, how could I know what the heresy was, with respect to which they had gone astray?" Now if one desires, one can take the verse to mean, "When you caused me to die."
or if one so desires, without abandoning one's unjustified obduracy, one can take it to mean, when you raised me to heaven with my physical body. In any event, this verse proves that Isa will not return to this world. For had he come again to this world, and had he, having returned, broken the cross, then in that case it would not be possible that Isa, who is a prophet of God, should tell such a blatantly plain lie in the presence of God on the Day of Judgment, that I have no knowledge whatsoever that after me my people adopted a false creed and made me and my mother gods. Can a person who returns to this world and lives in it for 40 years and fights battles against Christians tell such a detestable lie, i.e., I am totally ignorant of it all, even though he is a prophet? Thus the above verse prevents the return of Isa, because otherwise he has to be taken for a liar. If he is in heaven with his physical body, and, as the above verse elucidates, will not descend on the earth till the day of judgment, will he die in heaven? And will his grave be in heaven, while his dying in heaven is contradicted by the verse Fiha tamutun, that therein on the earth shall you die, the Holy Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 26. Hence all this proves that he, Isa, did not ascend to heaven with his physical body, but went to heaven after having died. If to oppose the Book of God when it has given an explicit verdict is not a sin, then what else is? Had I not come, such a simple error of judgment would have been forgivable. But now that I have come from God and the true and explicit meanings of the Holy Quran have been clarified, even then, not to give up false beliefs is not the way of those who are honest. For me, the signs of God were manifested in the heaven as well as the earth. About 1/4 of the century has elapsed, and thousands of signs have appeared. The age of the world has entered its 7th millennium. What kind of hard-heartedness is this, that even now you do not accept the truth? Look, I proclaim aloud that God's signs have not yet been exhausted. After the sign of that first earthquake, which struck on the 4th of April, 1905, about which a warning was given a long time before its occurrence, God has again informed me that another severe earthquake will strike in the spring season. Those will be the days of spring. I do not know whether the earthquake will strike in the beginning, when trees come into leaf, or in the middle, or whether it will strike in the last days of spring. Note that the words of divine revelation are, Phir bahar aayi, khuda ki baat phir puri hui. That again came the spring, and again the word of God was fulfilled. Because the first earthquake struck in spring, God informed me that the second earthquake too shall strike in spring. And as some trees begin to put out new leaves at the end of January, so from this very month will begin the days of fear, and will probably last till the end of May. Footnote: I do not know whether by the days of spring are meant the days of the spring which will come after the passing of this winter, or whether the fulfillment of this revelation will come to light at some later time in the days of spring. In any case, the word of God shows that the time of the fulfillment of this prophecy will be the time of spring, whichever spring it may be. But God shall come like a man who stealthily comes at night. This is what God has told me. End footnote. And God said, Zalzalatu Sa'a, meaning that this earthquake will be like the day of judgment. And again he said, لَكَ نُورِ آيَاتٍ وَنَحْدِمُ مَا يَعْمُرُونَ.
i.e., for you we shall show signs, and those who build buildings, we shall continue to demolish them, the buildings. Footnote. There is another revelation, too, regarding this. Tere liye mera naam chamka. It was for you that my name shone forth. End footnote. And again he said, Bhonchal aya aur shiddat se aya, zameen teho bala kar di. It means that a severe earthquake will strike and will turn the earth, that is some parts of the earth, upside down, as happened in the time of Lot. Inni ma'al afwaji atika baghtatan. That is, stealthily with my legions shall I come. Of that day no one shall know. So it happened with the town of Lot. Till it was turned upside down, no one knew of it, and all were busy eating, drinking, and enjoying themselves, when all of a sudden the earth was turned upside down. Hence God says that here too the same thing will happen, because sin has crossed all bounds, and man has fallen extremely in love with the world, and the way of God is looked down upon with disdain. And he said, Zindagiyon ka khatma, the end of lives. And then addressed me and said, Qala rabbuka innahu nazilum minas samai ma yurdika rahmatam minna wa kana amram maqdiyan. That is, your God says that one amr shall descend from heaven by which you will be made happy. This is a blessing and a mercy from us. This is a thing decreed, which was ordained from the beginning. And heaven must refrain itself from sending it down until this prophecy is publicized among peoples. Is there anyone who will believe in things which I say? Yes, but only he who is fortunate. Note that this proclamation is not made to cause anxiety, but only to prevent future fears, lest one should perish in ignorance. Every action is determined by one's intention, and my intention is not to cause pain, but to protect against it. Those who repent shall be saved from divine punishment, but the unfortunate one who does not repent, nor shuns the company of those who indulge in ridicule, nor does he renounce foul deeds and sin, his days of destruction are near, because his defiance deserves divine wrath in the sight of God. Here another matter deserves mentioning, which I have already spoken about. And the matter in question is that God has informed me about my death. He addressed me and told me about my life, that bahut thode din reh gaye hain, very few days are left, and said, Tamam hawadis aur ajaibate kudrat dikhane ke baad tumhara hadsa aayega. That after all calamities and wonders of omnipotence have been shown, your event, i.e. your death, will take place. This points to the fact that it is but inevitable that before my death the world should be subjected to some calamities, and some extraordinary signs of power are shown, so that the world gets ready for a revolution, and after that revolution my death should take place. And I was shown a spot in a vision, and was told that this is the site of your grave. I saw an angel who was measuring the ground and arriving at a certain spot. He said to me, This is the place of your grave. Then I was shown a grave which was brighter than silver, and all its soil was silver, and it was said to me, This is your grave. I was shown a place which was named Bahishti Maqbara, the heavenly graveyard. And it was conveyed to me that it contained the graves of such righteous members of the Jamaat as are destined to dwell in heaven. Since then I have always been concerned that a piece of land should be bought for the purposes of a graveyard. But because in and around Gardian a suitable piece of land was available only at a great cost, this objective remained suspended for a very long time. Now, after the death of brother Molvi Abdul Karim Saab, may Allah have mercy on his soul, and now that about my own death too I have received repeated revelations, I thought it proper that arrangements of a graveyard should be made expeditiously. I have therefore proposed that a piece of land out of my own property, which is adjacent to our orchard, and the price of which is no less than 1,000 rupees, be used for this purpose. And I pray that God may bless it, and that he may make this very piece of land the Beheshti Makbara, and make it the resting place of such members of the Jamaat as are pure of heart, and who have in reality given precedence to faith over the world, and who have renounced the love of the world and have submitted themselves to God, and have brought about in themselves a holy change. And like the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have set the example of faithfulness and truthfulness. Amin, O Lord of the world. I pray again, O all-powerful God of mine, make this piece of land fit for the graves of those of my Jamaat who are pure of heart, and who have in reality become yours, and in their deeds there is no adulteration of worldliness. Amin. Again, for the third time do I pray, O my mighty and benevolent God, O forgiving and merciful God, do grant them alone a place for graves here who have true faith in this messenger of yours, and who have no trace of hypocrisy, of selfish motives, and of doubt or suspicion in their hearts. And as faith and obedience deserve to be followed and observed, they follow and observe it for your sake. And in their heart of hearts, they have already sacrificed their lives for you and in your path, and you are pleased with them. And those whom you know to be totally lost in love for you, and those who have with your messenger a relationship of love and devotion based on loyalty, total respect, and enlightened faith. Amin, O Lord of the world. Footnote: suspicion is a grave calamity which in no time consumes faith, just as blazing fire consumes dry straw. One who suspects and mistrusts the messengers of God, God himself becomes his enemy and stands up to fight him. He is so jealous for his chosen ones that in this regard none can be his equal. When all sorts of attacks were made against me, it was this very jealousy of God which exploded for my sake. As he said, I shall stand with my messenger, and shall reproach the one who reproaches him, and shall bestow on thee that which lasts forever. You have a rank in heaven, and among those who are able to see. We shall show signs for you, and shall demolish that which they build. They said, Will you place therein one who will create disorder? He said, I know that which you do not know. I shall humiliate him who designs to humiliate thee. Be not afraid. The messengers are not afraid in my presence. Allah's decree has arrived. Therefore do not try to hasten it. Good news received by the prophets. O my Ahmad, you are my purpose and are with me. You are to me like my unity and my uniqueness. You have a standing with me of which people have no knowledge. You have a high standing in my presence. I have chosen you for myself. When you are angry, I am angry. And when you love, I love. Allah has preferred you over everything. All praise belongs to Allah, who has made you Messiah, son of Mary. He is not accountable for that which he does, and they are accountable. This promise was bound to be fulfilled. Allah will safeguard you against your enemies and will attack him who attacks you. That is because of their disobedience and transgression. Is not Allah sufficient for his servant? O mountains and birds, bow down to Allah along with him. Allah has decreed, I and my messengers shall prevail, and they after their defeat shall soon be victorious. Allah is with those who are righteous and do their duty to the utmost. Those who have believed stand firmly on truth in the estimation of their Lord. Peace is the word from the merciful Lord. O guilty ones, this day stand apart from the righteous. End footnote. Since great tidings have been given to me about this graveyard, and because God did not only say that this graveyard is Bahishti, an abode of those who will go to heaven, but also said, Unzila fiha kullu rahmatin, that is, every kind of blessing has been sent down upon this graveyard, and there is no blessing which is not shared by those who are buried in this graveyard, God has inclined my heart through his wahiyya khafi, a non-verbal revelation which is a form of divine inspiration, towards the idea that for the burial in the graveyard some conditions should be prescribed, and only those should get admittance who, because of their truthfulness and their perfect righteousness, comply with them. These are the three conditions which are binding on all. Number 1. I have donated the present plot of land as a contribution from myself. But for the completion of this compound, another tract of land will be purchased, the price of which will be approximately 1,000 rupees. Some trees will be planted to beautify it, and a well will also be dug. To the north of this graveyard, there is a large stretch of stagnant water, and as the graveyard is accessible only through this side, a bridge will have to be built. For these sundries, 2,000 rupees will be needed. Thus, the total expenditure amounts to 3,000 rupees, which is required for the completion of this project. Hence, the first condition is that whoever desires to be buried in this graveyard should contribute towards the expenses of its maintenance according to his or her capacity. Such contributions are required only of people who desire to be buried therein, and not from others. At present, this contribution should be sent to our respected brother, Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib. But if God so wishes, this institution will continue after the death of us all. In that case, there should be an anjuman, which should be authorized to spend the money from such income, which would be raised from time to time, as it deems fit, for the propagation of Islam and the unity of God. Number 2. The second condition is that from among the Jama'at, only those will be buried in this graveyard who make a testamentary disposition that 1/10 of their entire property shall, under the directions of the Jama'at, be devoted to the propagation of Islam and the teachings of the Holy Quran. It will be open to every righteous person whose faith is perfect to bequeath in his will more than 1/10 for this purpose, but in no case shall it be less than 1/10. And this monetary income shall be in the custody of an anjuman whose members should be honest and knowledgeable, and they, with mutual consultation, and according to the directions laid down above, shall use the funds for the advancement of Islam, dissemination of the Quranic knowledge, publishing religious books, and for the expenses of missionaries of the Jamaat. It is the promise of God that He will cause the Jamaat to flourish. So it is expected that abundance of funds will be forthcoming for the propagation of Islam. Every matter pertaining to the proposals about the propagation of Islam, going into the details of which will be premature, will be paid for out of these funds. And when a party of those who are made responsible for discharging these duties passes away, those who succeed them shall be duty-bound to render all those services in accordance with the instructions of Silsila Ahmadiyya. These funds shall also be used to help such orphans, poor and needy people, and new converts as do not have sufficient means of livelihood. And it shall be permissible to augment these funds through trade and commerce. Do not think that these things which I have said are inconceivable. No, they are the will of that Mighty One who is the Lord of the earth and the heaven. I am not worried how these funds will be collected, nor do I grieve over how such a Jamaat will be raised, who, inspired by their faith, shall perform such heroic feats. Rather, I am worried that after I am gone, those who will be entrusted with these funds may not, seeing their abundance, stumble and fall in love with the world. So I pray that such honest people may always be found by the Jamaat who work for God alone. However, it shall be lawful that those who have no means to support themselves should be given something from these funds by way of assistance. The third condition is that each one who is buried here should have led a righteous life and abstained from all that is prohibited and should have not been guilty of shirk, associating partners with God, and bidat, an unwarranted innovation in matters of faith and religion. He should be a true and sincere Muslim. The fourth condition is that every righteous person who owns no property and is unable to render any financial service to the community can be buried in this graveyard, provided it is established that he had dedicated his life to serve the faith and was a righteous person. Instructions. Number 1. Anyone who wishes to make a will in accordance with the above conditions, his or her will shall be executed after his or her death. However, it shall be incumbent that the will be made in writing and entrusted to the appointed trustee of the Jamaat. It shall also be obligatory to print and publish it, the will, since at the time of death, making bequests often becomes difficult. Since the days of visitations and calamities are close at hand, therefore one who makes a will at the time of peace holds a lofty station in the sight of God. Such a will, under which the contribution is permanent, will confer perpetual reward on the one who makes it, and it would amount to khairat-e jariya, a charity or any other good deed, the effect and the reward of which is unending. Number 2. Anyone who lives in any other part of the country far from Qadian and is bound by the conditions mentioned earlier, his or her heirs should, after the death of such a person, put his or her body in a coffin and bring it to Qadian. If a person eligible for burial here dies before the graveyard is completed, that is, before the completion of the bridge, etc., his or her body should be put in a coffin and buried at the place of his or her death in trust. After the completion of all the necessary arrangements relating to the graveyard, his or her body should be brought to Qadian. However, it would not be proper to exhume the bodies of those who have not been buried in a coffin. Footnote. Let no ignorant person think that this graveyard and the arrangements for it fall into the category of bid'at, an unwarranted religious innovation. For this arrangement is in accordance with divine revelation, and there is no element of human involvement in it. And let no one wonder how, by just being buried in this graveyard, one can enter paradise. The idea behind it all is not that this piece of land will make anyone worthy of heaven. Rather, the word of God means that only those will be buried here who are worthy of heaven. End footnote. Let it be made clear that it is the will of Allah that such as have perfect faith should all be buried in the same place, so that future generations, having seen them all buried in one location, should strengthen their own faith, and so that their great services, that is the deeds they performed for the sake of Allah, live forever in the people's memory. In the end, I pray that may Allah help every sincere person in this matter, and that He may kindle the fire of faith in their hearts, and that they all meet their death when Allah is pleased with them. Amin. It is appropriate that every one of our Jamaat who receives this booklet should announce it to his friends and acquaintances and publish it as far as it is possible for him to do, and treasure it for his future generations, and inform the opponents about it in an appropriate manner. And he should also patiently bear the abuse of every slanderer and keep himself busy praying. Our proclamation at the end is that all praise belongs to Allah, who is the Lord of the worlds, the humble one, the writer, the one who is always in need of Allah, the everlasting refuge, Ghulam Ahmad. May Allah protect him and be his help. December 20th, 1905. End Part 1. This is Part 1 of the audiobook The Will by Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Promised Messiah and Mahdi. This is an audiobook recorded for the Review of Religions. The Review of Religions magazine was established in 1902 by Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, the Promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, in order to prove the existence of God and the relevance of religion in the modern world. It continues to engage audiences across the globe to this day. You can find a range of audiobooks and other exciting resources on our website at www.reviewofreligions.org.